It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Finish Strong Friday, and that is exactly what we will do, because that's my promise to each and every one of you, to give you an awesome on-demand audio content. What am I trying to say here, Bri? On-demand audio content piece of... Boy, what a great way to start. We're not stopping, though, Bri. We're not redoing it. I don't do that. Every once in a while, it's good for you guys to see me out of my element. Anyway, we want to give you a great piece of on-demand audio content talking about the National Football League that's presented by SeatGeek. The smartest, way smarter than I am with that opening, easiest way to find the best tickets at the best prices to everything from sports, concerts, comedy, theater. I am going to U2 on Sunday. Great place to get tickets is the SeatGeek app. Just download the SeatGeek app today. Enter promo code Ross to get $20 off. I told you on Wednesday I would have a spread the word winner. That is Steph in Cali, who retweeted the Even Money podcast from yesterday, where Steve Fezzik told us all about what life is like as a professional gambler, the highs, the lows, how much he decides to bet. Crazy to hear how few people actually make a living doing it. Steph, hit me up with an email, ross@rostucker.com, with your address, and let me know if you want whatever you want. Signed picture, signed card, press pass, let me know. The sponsor confirmation email winner, total stud, Jason Sparlin, sent me sponsor confirmation emails that he signed up over at rostucker.com for both Omaha Steaks and SeatGeek. So, Jason, you went above and beyond, my friend. Let me know what you would like as well. Speaking of studs, we weren't able to talk to him Wednesday because I was traveling. He was traveling. We were both on the West Coast. But I'm back. He's back. And there is a lot to talk about. Odell Beckham Jr., NBA versus NFL, the Redskins' new front office structure. It's your guy from the Packers, VP of player finance for a long time, the one and only Andrew Brandt.
The Big Show.
Andrew, always appreciate your flexibility. Glad we could at least talk at some point this week, because it seems like there's a lot to get into. And before I even get into the NFL stuff, and there's a lot I want to get to with you, I know you've been tweeting about it. I'm just curious to get your opinion as a business of sports guy that has a business of sports podcast on the differences, what seems like a pretty stark contrast between the NFL and the NBA that finished up earlier this week.
Yeah, good morning, Ross, on a Friday. It's really interesting to see what's going on in the NBA when we talk about the business of the NFL, because you have these superstars that dominate teams that make such a difference. And, of course, you speak of LeBron and Kevin Durant so much in the news the past couple of weeks. Durant going and forming the super team a year ago on July 4th weekend. What's interesting to me is, first of all, these guys move. And they move even with a collective bargaining agreement negotiated by the NBA and the NBA Players Association that gives incumbent teams tremendous financial advantage to keep their players. Oklahoma City could have paid Kevin Durant, I don't know the exact number, Ross, let's say $25, $30, $35, $40 million more over a course of 5 or 6 years. And he walked. Same thing with Cleveland when LeBron went to Miami. Miami when LeBron went to Cleveland. It's these Larry Bird rights that give these teams advantages to go over the cap to keep their own players. Yet they still leave. So it just sort of, I watch this and everyone complains about the super teams. And what do you do? If you can't get Kevin Durant to stay in Oklahoma City with tens of millions of more dollars, what do you do? And then it sort of dawns on me the NFL has a franchise tag. And that was created back in the 90s to keep the superstars around. I remember it was talked about, Brett Favre in Green Bay, Dan Marino in Miami, John Elway in Denver, Troy Aikman in Dallas, all these creations so that this wouldn't happen. And it just sort of, you know, you go into the bargaining history and you think about all these things. The goal of every league, besides profitability, is competitive balance, and that's all related. You want to have a balanced product. Now, you look at the NBA, and everyone talks about, well, it's these two teams in the finals past 3 years. It's probably going to be the same next year. Well, okay. The interest seems to be very high. But you do want a competitively balanced product, but you see the weight of superstars in the NBA far more than in the NFL. So that was one thing. The other thing was, because of this, could there be a super team in the NFL? And my thoughts, I'm interested in yours, Ross, is there's just too many players. I mean, the best quarterback in free agency is not going to go to New England, is not going to go to Green Bay, is not going to go to Atlanta, is not going to go to Seattle, because they have superstar quarterbacks. So you sort of line those things up, and it's really hard to see sort of the equivalent in football. And it really just sort of struck me watching the finals of all these contrasts of the two sports.
Yeah, what's interesting, Andrew, is the Patriots are the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. That would be 3 out of 4. So they'd be performing like a super team. But I feel like when you look at their parts, you know, there aren't that many guys. I mean, I don't know who, you know, Brady's obviously a superstar, as is Gronkowski, you know, when he's healthy. But I don't know who else you really would look at and say, well, he's definitely a superstar and he's definitely a superstar. It doesn't have nearly the same feel as, you know, the Warriors or even the Cavs for that matter.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I mean, if you had to pick a team and say they're the closest thing to a superstar team, it's really hard to come up with one. I guess you can always look back at the end of the year and see who had the most Pro Bowlers. Maybe that was Atlanta this year. You know, but again, the New Patriots favorites for the Super Bowl, who do they have at the top of their position besides the two guys you mentioned? It's really hard to come up with. I mean, maybe Gilmore, because they'd like it, but we don't know. And you sort of look around and say, yeah, this is different. You know, the last thing on this, Ross, I was with Sam Hinkie at an event at Stanford a month ago. And I really, you know, one of those great conversations, you're in a group. He says, you want to go over here, have a coffee, and learned a lot. One of the things he said is, it's just basketball, a superstar like LeBron or Durant or Curry, imagine he's your best offensive player, your best defensive player, and your coach wrapped into one. That's what it's like. They just make so much difference. And you don't have that in football. Primarily, the obvious reason is they only play half the game.
Yeah, and LeBron James actually mentioned that recently. You know, speaking,
that's right, yeah.
Andrew, of, you know, some of the top players, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the extension signed by Jason Peters in Philadelphia at 35 years old. He had 2 years left. They gave him an extra year there. Greg Olsen is 32. He has 2 years left. He wants a new deal. How would you handle these situations if you were still the one making the decisions in Green Bay?
Well, if you got a guy coming into his last year, you do want him around longer if, you know, your organization feels that way. I mean, there are some guys going into the last year at 30s where they're feeling like, okay, let's try to get this year out of them. And you don't want to extend. I was away during the Peters extension. I'd be interested in seeing that. Number one, is there an increase this year, which I assume there is. But more importantly, what's the guarantee next year? Because if there's no guarantee next year, I don't really know what an extension means. It's just sort of a way of keeping a guy happy, saying he has an extension, and of course, bringing in new money this year. That's what you worry about from a management point of view. You want him at 32. You're not sure you want him at 33, and you probably don't want him at 34. So I think what these deals are, trying to toe the line between keeping a player happy but not getting locked into something. I do recall a question on my podcast with Tom Condon a few weeks ago talking about the monster deal he got for Calais Campbell with the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of the shocking deals for the year, really $15 million a year, maybe the best deal in all of free agency. And he had Denver bidding and he had Arizona bidding, but I think he's 32. And that one's got a guarantee going into the third year, I believe. So what a strong deal. And I'm sure players are going to point to that as they get older.
Speaking of deals, Odell Beckham Jr., like a lot of these guys, did show up for mandatory minicamp this week. And he said that his absence was not about the money from OTAs. Are you buying that?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I don't think they're negotiating. Here's the deal. First of all, from the Giants' standpoint, you got 2 years left. You got the end of this rookie deal year, and you got an option year, and then potentially you got a franchise tag. So take the sort of maintenance part out of it. You've got 3 years on this guy, really. Now, the maintenance part, he's going to be drama. So, you know my saying, Ross, greater talent equals greater tolerance. They have to sort of look at it and say, well, what's the drama like without a contract? Does the drama even get bigger with a contract? How do we deal with this? And I think he's going to have a lot of people around him, and I think he's going to be their star, their Hollywood guy, and you've got to sort of thread through this. I guess I always go back to, what's the agent relationship? He's got to be the person you look to as, okay, before we talk contract, how's the commitment level? Are we good? Is everything good? And you got to tread lightly, because he's one of, if not your most important player. So to me, Ross, this is the ultimate. You've got a guy that requires some maintenance, and you're going to deal with it. And you have to decide whether you can get a better deal now than you'll get a year from now, and a better deal then than a year later. You do have the guy at such a reasonable nut now. I wouldn't rush into anything.
Speaking, Andrew, of New York, I know we touched on it a little bit last week. I just want to get your thoughts on the Jets' strategy. Almost feel bad for Matt Forte with them asking him, are you guys tanking? Do you feel like you have a competitive roster? You know, I understand it feels like, Andrew, the Jets are rebuilding, but especially for veterans like Matt Forte, just puts those guys in a really difficult spot, I feel like.
I do too. I mean, I think the tanking word is thrown around with really little understanding of what it is. First of all, you know better than I do, from a football point of view, what are you going to tell the guys not to block and tackle? And also, I do think, Mark Cuban talked about when they were out of the playoffs, they tanked, and they asked, what does that mean? He said, well, we just played young players. And I'm thinking, well, that's what a lot of organizations do. Sure, you have a few veterans, but if you lined up the youngest teams in the NFL every year, I would guess a good percentage of them are doing well, not poorly, doing well. I just think it's, are the Jets tanking with going 4-12 last year with Brandon Marshall, with Darrell Revis, with the two guys they released, Harris and Decker? Are they really tanking by not having those guys? I mean, I just don't get it. And of course, you mentioned the Forte. What about the quarterback is like 37 years old? And they did the same thing with the quarterback. Signed an old stopgap player. So I just don't see it. I almost am of the opinion that the Jets should not have signed an older quarterback, because at some point they got to evolve, and they're just holding back whoever is their next quarterback another year. But no, I don't think tanking happens in the NFL. I just think it's hard to believe that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're not tanking, but don't you think that they're purposely in a major rebuild, and they are understanding and of okay with the fact that they're going to have a subpar team?
I suppose I get back to what I just said about they were 4-12 last year with a lot of veterans. So if I'm them, I'm like, okay, well, that didn't work. That's what's an anomaly. I shake my head about the quarterback situation, Ross. I mean, not that you're bringing in Tom Brady with Josh McCown, but you got three young quarterbacks. I mean, why not move on to them if that's your goal? Is Josh McCown going to help you win two more games? Maybe. But then, I guess, what's the point if you're holding back development of something? And, you know, to the Cavaliers, I think the problem there for the Cavaliers, back to basketball, is that their role players, Kyle Korver, Channing Frye, J.R. Smith, you know, are like 30. So they're not developing young players by trying to keep this veteran team alive. I'm always a big believer in development around your stars.
What did you think, Andrew, of the Redskins front office structure that was announced earlier this week?
Well, Doug Williams is obviously a popular name, especially me growing up there and watching him win the Super Bowl. And he has experience as a player personnel executive. We'll see, you know, if he has the true experience to lead a team. He's obviously being given a chance. My sense is a couple things. Bruce is still running the show, Bruce Allen, and he will have his imprint on everything. So whatever changes are made, they're under the thumbprint Bruce Allen. The other part of it is more personal for me, because growing up in the business as a cap contract manager running that side of the operation, one of my colleagues in the business was Eric Schaefer with the Redskins, and now he's an advanced age like I am. He's still doing it, and finally he gets some more power in doing so. So it's always good to see that. I know he was considered for the GM job, but he's going to be kind of head of football operations. So good for Eric, good hardworking guy, and he's kind of the point man on the Kirk Cousins negotiation as well.
Last thing, Andrew, I mentioned earlier that all these guys have, you know, showed up for minicamp because it's mandatory. So all the guys that were skipping OTAs, they all showed up this week, Brandon Albert, et cetera. One guy who didn't, though, was Dwayne Brown. I'm just curious as to, you know, if you would ever recommend that as an agent, you know, to subject yourself to fines like that. I guess sometimes guys probably aren't worried. They think, well, if I get the deal, they'll forgive the fine money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a stronger statement. I always talk about these stages of civil disobedience during the offseason, and nothing really registers to me until any mandatory missed time. And that has happened with the Texans and Dwayne Brown. It's a statement. And the key is, of course, are they going to react? And if there's a feeling among the player and the agent that this will cause them to react, I get it. I understand. Maybe you're in negotiations, you're just far apart. But if the team, as they did with DeAndre Hopkins last year, says we're not adjusting, then that's a problem. Then they're not going to forgive, and you go into training camp at odds. So again, what do? You can do nothing. You can tear up the contract and do a new one. I talk about this every year, Ross. With the Packers, I did a third option. What I did was sort of throw in a lot of earnable monies, workout bonuses, 45-man game roster money. incentives. So you stand by your precedent to the team of, we're not ripping contracts with years remaining, more than one at least, and you're able to reward the player. You know, maybe it's like a Jason Peters situation in Philadelphia, but again, these are tricky. It comes down to your feeling about the player. You try to come up with a compromise that makes everyone what he wants, really, not what you want, but down the middle.
Andrew, appreciate your flexibility, like I said at the start. Glad we still got a chance to talk this week. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Ross. Thanks.
I've told you guys before that you got to go check out the new RossTucker.com. It is light years better than the old site was. Unbelievable job by one of you, one of our listeners, Christopher at PromptInternet.com, which they've done a terrific job. We've actually got them on some other projects. I've got them working on a company that I recently invested a little bit of money into because that is how good of a job that Christopher does. Plus, what's awesome for them is if you don't have a lot of money, you know, to be paying developers all the time, Christopher can hook you up for really, really low fee. So go to PromptInternet.com. Tell Christopher I sent you. That's our way of giving thanks to him for the job he's done. And while you're there, go bookmark the Amazon banner ad. That way you have it. That way anytime you need to buy something for Amazon, whether it's Prime or whatever you are, that way they give us little credit for you using our banner ad. That's always appreciated.
Tuck Takes.
Hey, Ross. Well, a crazy amount of stuff to get to since Wednesday. Let's just start with the New York guys. Odell Beckham Jr. and Matt Forte and the comments they made recently that got your attention.
Well, for Matt Forte, I mean, I don't feel that bad for him. He's still a professional football player making a lot of money to play football. It just stinks that he's got to be on a team that's that bad. He knows it, but what's he going to say? He's trying to be a leader. You know, it's a bad position for him to be in. Because he doesn't want to lie, but it's also like, dude, I mean, they're not going to be good. And I think we all recognize that. And it's just a shame that he has to be answering these questions about we're not going to tank. We do have a competitive roster. That just can't be real fun. As for Odell Beckham Jr., boy, just when I thought it made sense and he was skipping OTAs because he was trying to get a new deal, and I understood that, and he was trying to leverage that to help get a new deal. He says that that's not why he's doing it, and that he needed to be out in LA to reflect on what really matters in life, what's really important, and to grow and mature, to which I would say he really needs to grow and mature. What is he talking about? He had all of January, February, March, April, half of May to do whatever he wants. There's only 10 opportunities when his teammates take the field in May, and he's not there because he's reflecting on what really matters in life. Not a big fan. I think my concern with him is that all of the early success, early attention has really gone to his head, and I just wonder, and look, that might be tough for any of us to be able to deal with or to be able to handle. I just get worried, I'd say, would be the best way to describe it, about whether or not he's going to have the career that he could have, like a Jerry Rice type career, or whether he's going to end up kind of being a T.O. or a Randy Moss, which, by the way, I mean, those guys had great careers, just very, very different than Jerry Rice, I would say.
Tuck Takes.
In terms of hard news, Eagles gave your former teammate Jason Peters a new deal. Well, it sounds like Panthers tight end Greg Olsen would like one of those deals himself in Carolina.
Right, and Greg Olsen is very deserving. I think he's a top five tight end in the NFL. He's the team leader of the Panthers, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. But you do have to be careful when you're a GM. I mean, you know, he's 32 and he's got 2 years left on his deal. I mean, you know, they could have him for those 2 years, and then he might be kind of done, and why give him a new deal if you don't have to? The flip side is, you know, you could maybe free up some cap space, make him a little bit happier, extend him by a year, which is basically exactly what the Eagles did with Jason Peters. Extended him by a year makes it likely he'll be on the team the next 2 years, and then maybe he'll retire at that point. He got an $8 million signing bonus. He got $15.5 million guaranteed, which, by the way, he's made $87 million, which means Jason is going to make over $100 million in his NFL career, which is truly, truly remarkable, and I'm thrilled for him. I remember when he was on practice squad making a whole lot less back in 04.
Let's talk some injuries to some young edge rushers, including Myles Garrett in Cleveland and Leonard Floyd in Chicago.
This is starting to get concerning for me for both guys, Bri. I don't know if you guys saw the report that Leonard Floyd talked about how after he got his second concussion last year, and by the way, he had a terrific rookie year. I think he had 7 sacks like in 12 games, something like that. But he said he was in a fog for a couple of months after his second concussion. Whew, that gets me nervous. I don't like hearing that. I hope he's okay. But once a guy gets to like where Keekly's at, or Michael Orr, or Leonard Floyd, I really, really start to think about what I would do if I were in their shoes. As for Myles Garrett, they say he's fine after this foot injury, but this is at least the third time now that he's missed time. I mean, if he's fine, my question is he injury prone or is he not tough? Because now this is like 3 different instances where he's been out there, but then not out there. I'm not sounding the alarm yet, but I think we all need to really pay attention to that one now.
Ducks takes. We had a trade yesterday. The Rams sent former number 2 overall pick Greg Robinson to Detroit in exchange for a 6th round pick.
And those of you that listen to the Dave Damashek football program this week, I joined Dave while I was out in L.A. You heard us talking about Greg. And the reality is for him, incredibly talented athlete. But if you guys remember, if you go back and listen to the college draft podcasts or what I said with Greg Cosell, my concern was that I noticed at least 4 or 5 mental errors in the BCS National Championship game against Auburn. Greg Robinson's last year there, at least. And Auburn had a very simple offense. So that concerned me for him in the NFL, and it appears as if that has been his issue in the NFL, or at least the biggest one. Ducks
takes. And finally, one of the transaction. Saints signing veteran D-tackle Tony McDaniel, and the Colts placing running back Christian Michael on IR.
Boy, that was quick for Christian Michael. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't even see what happened to him, but putting him on IR, his season's over. So I'd be curious to hear what happened there. And for the Saints signing Tony McDaniel, that would seem to be all about Nick Fairley protection, to get another defensive tackle in the rotation in case Nick Fairley can't play, which I think is probably the way, the direction a lot of people think it's probably going.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address is ross@rostucker.com. I absolutely love your email questions because you bring up things that I wouldn't think about. So go to rostucker.com, whether it's Omaha Steaks or SeatGeek getting that app or Saks Underwear, which is amazing. I actually made my own order using my own URL last night to get some more of that stuff. Take advantage of that and then send it to me. What do you got, Bri?
All right. Hey, Ross, I know you didn't get drafted, but I'd like to know what your experience leading up to the draft was. Did your agent tell you that you'd probably be drafted in the middle rounds, or did he say it would probably be late? Also, I'd like to know how it was to be recruited after the draft. Thanks for your time. That's from Josh, who sent us a confirmation from 1-800-Flowers. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, Josh. And Josh was a winner. Josh was a sponsor confirmation email winner at some point. So, Josh, I was bottom of the barrel. I was not ranked by some of the scouting services that are out there. And I was just hoping that I would get signed by somebody after the draft. I knew that I was not going to get drafted. I had no hopes of getting drafted. My only hope and prayer was that a team signed me after the draft, because I hadn't partied. I hadn't done anything. No daddy sodas. My second semester at Princeton, just working out at 6 a.m. every morning for the combine stuff and the pro day and all that stuff. I just wanted a chance. And he told me that. And he told me going into the weekend, back then in the draft was a weekend, that it was about a 50-50 proposition. So I was pretty nervous. And I think I've told the story before, Josh, but he told me the later it took for him to call me after the draft, the worse it was. And I waited for like an hour. Nothing happened, and I was starving. So I finally went out to my eating club and got dinner. I could not eat. I was so upset. And then I thought, you know what? I can't do this. And I went back to my dorm room, and this is like before cell phones. And he called me. He said, "Where were you?" I said, "I went out to get something to eat. You said if you didn't call, the longer it took, the worse it was." He said, "Well, I've been calling you to try to let you know you're the newest member of the Washington Redskins." And that was one of the best moments of my life, without question. I sprinted back out to the eating club and celebrated with all my buddies who were still out there. I was getting my shot, and all the time I put in was worth it. Thanks for that question, Josh. Awesome. I could tell an even longer version of that sometime down the line. That'll do it, though, for a Finish Strong Friday edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We will be back on Monday. If you get a chance over the weekend, highly encourage you to listen to the Fantasy Feast or Even Money. Those were awesome this week. And we'll be back with the college draft on Tuesday as well. Other than that, iTunes rankings comments are huge. I think we're done here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, "Honey, I need to get a new car," I said, "TrueCar." Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, "Hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area." It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.